Be seated. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the sixth chapter of Ezra. Ezra chapter 6, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls, where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And there was found at Akmeta, in the palace that is in the province of the Medes, a roll. And therein was a record thus written. In the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king, made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem, let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 80 cubits, with 3 rows of great stones and a row of new timber, and let the expenses be given out of the king's house. And also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple which is at Jerusalem, and brought in unto Babylon, be restored, and brought again unto the temple which is at Jerusalem, every one to his place, and place them in the house of God. Now, therefore, Tatnai, the governor beyond the river, Shethar-Boznai, and your companions, the Apharsachites, which are beyond the river, be ye far from thence. Let the work of this house of God alone, let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in his place. Moreover, I make a decree, what ye shall do unto the elders of these Jews for the building of this house, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, forthwith expenses be given unto these men, that they be not hindered, and that which they have need of, both young bullocks and lambs, for the burnt offerings of the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the appointment of the priests which are at Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven, and pray for the life of the king and of his sons. Also, I have made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. And the God that hath caused his name to dwell there, destroy all kings and people that shall put to their hand to alter and destroy this house of God which is at Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree, let it be done with speed. Then Tatnai, the governor on this side of the river, Shethar-Boznai, and their companions, according to that which Darius the king had sent, so they did speedily. And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the 3rd day of the month Adar, which was in the 6th year of the reign of Darius the king. And the children of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the children of the captivity, kept the dedication of this house of God with joy, and offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and for a sin offering for all Israel, 12 he-goats, according to the number of the tribes of Israel. And they set the priests in their divisions, and the Levites in their courses, for the service of God which is at Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. And the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month, for the priests and the Levites were purified together, all of them were pure, and killed the Passover for all the children of the captivity, and for their brethren the priests, and for themselves. And the children of Israel, which were come again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land, to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat, and kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord had made them joyful, and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them, to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, what a helper of our joy this chapter is. What a wonderful chapter. So we have the opening political movements, right? The political movements, and that's what Darius does. And so Darius makes a decree, and so they begin the search in the records, and they find in one of those record houses in the land of the Medes at Akhmeta, in the palace that is in the province of the Medes, a roll, and therein was a record thus written. And so you have the record as it was written in the ancient Persian scroll by Cyrus. Cyrus was the first king, you'll remember from a few chapters ago, that commanded that the children of Israel return to the land of Israel, especially Jerusalem, and build the house of the Lord and offer unto the God of heaven those sweet savors that he has required, and that they should pray not only for Jerusalem, but for the life of the king and his son. Cyrus saw that it was in the interests of his kingdom to curry favor with the God of heaven. Oh, that civil authorities would see that today. We can pray for that. And every time we come to a passage like this, we ought to be reminded to pray for our civil leaders, that they too would seek favor from the God of heaven in all of their labor. I'm fairly confident that we have many in our civil establishments these days that are not doing that. And we are under that kind of judgment because they are not. They are God's ministers, whether they admit it or not, yet they are not serving him. They're serving some other end. And of course, the people groan, as Solomon taught us. All right, so moving on from that, Darius picks up on that. We'll note just a couple of incidental things on the way, but for the sake of time, we'll hustle up to the other end of it. But notice that this house is taller than the house that Solomon built. It is 30 cubits tall. Three score, 60 cubits tall. Solomon's was 30 cubits tall. It's twice as tall, and in some cases, twice as broad, although there is a third dimension that is not mentioned here, probably because it didn't need to be any bigger than Solomon's. I don't know for sure. No one knows for sure. But we do know that what Cyrus desired was that the temple of the God of heaven be made an edifice that could be seen from far away. It was to be an ensign for people to come and to gather. The other thing that we want to mention is the vessels of the house of God. Let me ask you the question in ways where the answers will be easy. What would the use be of building such a temple as that if there were no vessels in it to offer those sweet savors unto God? Yet notice that Cyrus understands that. However, it's more than just that. Those vessels are symbolic. They are symbolic of the return of the Israelites to that same house. Just like the vessels came, so the people come. What good would it be to erect that temple unto the Lord and there be no worshipers in it, no priests in it, no people in it to worship the God of heaven? So that is a symbolic thing that takes place there, that we might remember that the Lord builds up his kingdom that it may be inhabited, that there may be ourselves and others brought into it, is how we pray when we pray the phrase, "Thy kingdom come." Okay, so then there is a warning given to the Samaritans that dwell in that area. And they're told to keep themselves far from that matter. Now, this was a necessary warning, and it looks like now that we are now hearing the words of Darius and not the words of Cyrus. Darius has added to this decree, that he's telling Tatnai and Shethar Boznai and the rest of the Apharsachites, you keep yourselves away from those Jews. Let them build their temple. Don't you stop them. Because that's what had already happened in the previous chapters. They had stopped them from building. They had sued, remember, before a usurper to the throne, and had gotten leave to hinder the building of that temple. And then we note also that when they began building again, that they prospered under the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah. And so they had not only the priests, not only the elders, but they also had the teaching office to help them to know to build. And we've seen a part of that just recently as we preached through the prophecy of Haggai, that they needed encouragements to get to building because they had left off that building through various discouragements. So they are encouraged again to build. Finally then, Darius, at the end of his decree, says, we want to make sure that that house has everything that it needs and that it has nothing that it doesn't. And what he means by that is, let's make sure they got all the animals they need for sacrifice, all the building materials, all the other things, salt and oil and so on. And then also, let's make sure that anyone that would stand against the building of that house, that his house is torn down. You see the irony there. And that it is, that the timbers thereof are raised up as a gallows to hang him on. Darius understands that it is also his responsibility to seek favor from the God of heaven. And then he will repeat, so that there may be prayers for the king and his sons offered in that house. So that's the political end of it. Now we have the churchly end of it. First of all, we see, as we mentioned a moment ago, the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah, that they should begin to build, and in the sixth year then of Darius, the house is finished. The priests and the Levites joined themselves to that building, and they also joined themselves to the dedication. This is not like what we saw in past events like this, is it? Where we saw what? We saw that there were those priests, Levites, who were not prepared to worship when that time came. They weren't clean. They hadn't cleansed themselves. Here, notice, everyone is forward. They are all clean. And all the people of the land there, all of those who returned from the captivity are able and ready in the first month, in the 15th day of the month, not only after the dedication, but then also when time comes round for Passover, that they offer up those Passover sacrifices. And notice also what it says, that those who inhabited the land around them, that the people of the land, not the Israelites that returned from captivity, but those who had remained there, not just Israelites, but people of the land, they also came and joined themselves to Israel and offered sacrifice. The Passover, just like Moses said would happen when he instituted the Passover in Exodus chapter 12. He said, if a stranger will come near and will offer sacrifice to the Lord, let him first be circumcised, and then he shall be as one born in the land. And so what does Ezra tell us here? And the children of Israel, which were come again out of the captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat. And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful. Remember, we opened this chapter by saying, helpers of their joy. Finally, we hear about the king of Assyria. I think the king of Assyria here is just another name in those days of Ezra. Assyria would have been like a shorthand name for all of that land where they had dwelt before, including Israel, including Lebanon, including the south, including all the 12 tribes. In other words, that which was far west from home base Medo-Persia, And so the king of Assyria here would be indeed Artaxerxes, probably. Artaxerxes, not as the king only of Assyria, but as that Median king. But now this land is spoken of as the under the generic term Assyria, right? So he's still the king of that Assyrian land, but it's spoken of as a separate land because remember that the Medo-Persians also understood that gods were confined to regions. And so now this land that is called Assyria, the king over Assyria is still Darius, Xerxes, and then Artaxerxes in that order. But it's called Assyria now because it's spoken of as a region instead, one of those sub-regions of the entirety of the Medo-Persian Empire. So this is not some separate king. The king of Assyria here is another name for the monarch of the Persians at this point in history. And thus ends the reading then of Ezra chapter